See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. Deuteronomy 29:15-18. When the Israelites were journeying to the Promised Land, the Lord told them everything they would need to do to stay in his blessings and what would happen when they turned from him, that curses would fall upon them and that they would not remain in the land. Three times they were driven from the land, even after being told what would happen if they turned from God. And as each army conquered the rebellious nation, the people were led away, and ruins filled the land where once abundance had filled its valleys and hills. But God had chosen this people, Israel, this land, Israel, for himself. And his love for them never left them, and their rebellion against him caused them much pain. A deceitful heart is wicked above all things. When people are led astray, when they forget what they have known, and when they give themselves freely to chaos, how can they then truly expect to find blessings in disorder? History has shown that no matter how blessed a country can be, its people will always test the boundaries and test God to see just how far they can go. And unfortunately, for some, by the time that they realize they've gone too far, extensive damage has been done both in the physical and the spiritual realms, causing destruction and death to both the nation and the people who are that nation. America today, yes, people are waking up to the dilemma we as a nation have been brought to and the lies that many have bought into. But this is a political awakening. And what is needed is a spiritual awakening. What is needed is a return to God and for the ways of God to be our guiding beacon. We need for his hand to cover this land and free her people from the oppressors that they have enslaved themselves to. We pray, or should be, for the little ones. We wonder about their future when we find the courage to look and see what is happening in this our day. And we shudder to think of the kind of world that they will grow up in, what troubles they will face, and the hardships that will befall them. And yet we remain silent as so many of them are killed in the womb, killed before they even get to see for the first time the face of their mothers or fathers, to smell the fragrances around them, to taste the sweetness of their mother's milk or the fresh produce on the table. They will never be able to use the voice they were given, unique to them alone. They will not share in laughter, nor will they share sorrow or song, for silence will fill their little ears, and their eyes will remain dry, and their little arms will not know the freedom of swinging with delight. And we will miss the sound of their giggles and coos. They will not know the comfort of being held when they are sick or hurt, or simply being loved. Nor will they know the touch of a gentle hand upon them. Rather, they are silenced in the womb and violently ripped from it, and all hope is stolen from them, and all relationships are cut, and this before they leave the safety of their mother's womb. We send our children who survived the womb to indoctrination centers, public schools. What we now have before us are generations that have been taught victimhood. For them, there is little understanding of the causes they cry out for or the injustice they stand for. They are taught to hate themselves, either for their family's wealth or lack of it, or it could be because they don't have the right skin color. And to this now, we can add the nonsensical gender identity fiasco that is causing chaos and is consuming our innocent. They are taught to be victims first. And then they become aggressors because they believe that they are victims. They are taught to hate in the name of love. And they are taught to lie to themselves and their parents. They are taught to cheat themselves of life and hope. And they steal from God the days and the joy that he has planned for them. Our children will in time become unrecognizable to us by their thoughts, their words, and their actions. They are being used as tools in the transformation of this country and this culture, and we now have the lost leading the lost, and dark days have come upon us. America is like an open wound that has been allowed to fester and is about to become septic. The political leader may stabilize the nation for a time, but unless the toxicity is removed, it only delays the inevitable, death. Without God, there is nothing but chaos, and to say that God is with this nation today, that's to make a mockery of God and of His Word. We fill our arenas for concerts, for sporting events, for political rallies to pump each other up. We go to be entertained, and because we enjoy the thrill of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. But our churches are empty. Our songs are barely heard. Our faith is on life support. Our hope is lost in the fog, and we no longer want to hear the truth. In fact, we rarely pray and talk to God or seek His counsel. America is not found or heard of or from in the last days. This should be a wake-up call for each of us. What can we do? We can get on our knees and we fight. We fight for the souls of men. When righteousness takes a stand, men change, cultures change, nations change. A way for truth to be heard has been provided by God, but there is no one willing to call out. There is no one to help the captives to understand what freedom means and what it should look like, and that the only way of gaining one's freedom is through Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you are in Christ, if you have read, been taught about the prophecies of things to come, and if you truly believe in the power of God, the authority given Jesus by God the Father to rule and to reign, and if you truly believe He is returning, that He will set up His kingdom and rule from the New Jerusalem, where the throne of God will sit, if you believe those things, then you also must believe the enemy of God, the enemy of mankind, the devil, has been conquered, and he will, on the day of God's choosing, be cast into the lake of fire, never to rise up again. And those who have chosen to follow him will be there with him also. What can be said of a nation that would sacrifice its children for its comforts and then replace them with pets that are treated as children, or even in some cases better than children, and allow their young to be robbed of life? What can be said of a nation that steals from the poor to give to the rich and tells the poor, "It is the rich that we are taking from for you"? Do they not steal then from everyone, taking monies from the rich and hope from the poor? A country that is so divided that they cheer on injustice and they cheer on tear justice because of their disdain one for another. And what can be said of a nation where its leaders feel no need to be accountable because they are the leaders? A country that refuses parents the right to know what their children are learning, or forces young girls to share intimate facilities with male counterparts. That nation no longer walks with God. They have instead turned to false gods and idols, which includes men and women who have turned to stone by their own delusional beliefs. It is not over domain today that the battle rages, but it is for the souls of men. The devil cannot enter the believer in Jesus like he can overcome and possess a non-believer. But like an abuser, he can inflict pain and cause great discomfort. The battles will never be comfortable. They will never be easy. But we can be like David, overcoming and taking down the giant Goliath. With each of us standing with our five little stones and slingshot, we too, with the help of God, will take down and destroy the strongholds that are currently being built in our churches and culture today. We can be the army that Gideon raised, from whom God took from numbering thousands to only 300. They would, by the grace of God, be able to defeat hundreds of thousands, doing this by the breaking of clay jars and exposing the light inside. By God's hand and under His command, victory can be claimed, even when it appears the odds favor evil and wickedness. If God could lead a people through the desert for 40 years, a place where He had to provide the water, where he had to provide all the food, and not for a few, but thousands upon thousands. And if during those days neither their clothes nor their shoes wore out, if he could part a sea so that they could walk on dry ground, and if he could cause a man born blind to see and the leper to be free of disease, and if he could raise to life the dead, if he could feed thousands with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, if he could lay down his life for those who hated and despised him, and then pick it back up, giving them hope in life, if they would turn from their sinful ways and believe in him, then what is there that he cannot do? There's nothing beyond him. No, not even you.